Just when I thought I'd seen it all, they invent a new drug that puts our backs to the wall. And I would have thought mystery had taught us the powers that be aren't the ones you can trust. And how can you say we had a choice when the people spoke up, you silenced our voice? You locked us all down, you poisoned our youth. You claim yourselves as the one source of truth. Your people lost their jobs.
Jesse Wild, yesterday I was in the middle of working on another project and one of the crew dropped in to me. Your song that just dropped, I think yesterday, is that right? Just yesterday? Yeah,
Wednesday, actually the 3rd of April is when it dropped.
Well, yesterday I saw it. I dropped everything. I messaged you and I said, I need to interview you about this song. Tell me about the song, because what I felt was, well, truth, number one, fire in your belly for a better New Zealand, number two, and raw talent, good raw talent. Tell me where the song came from, when it was written, and what inspired you, Jesse.
Well, I've been wanting to write something about all this crazy stuff for a long time, and sometimes you just need the right inspiration. I worked on a couple of songs with Jason Kerrison, helped him record some things. He wrote a song called Heads We Win, Tails You Lose, and I sang the backing vocals on it. I don't know if you know that song, do you?
It's a very good song, and I don't know Jason personally, but he just seems like such a good energy too. Such a good energy.
Now, he spent quite a bit of time in this recording studio. In fact, he played my 50th birthday party, which was here at the studio. And he'd sort of invited me down to the protest to go and sing the song with him on stage. And I had all my bags packed and everything. But because I was unjabbed, I had to get to cross the border. I had to get a rat test. And would you know it, I failed a rat test and I couldn't cross the border. And I'd done everything. I didn't have one of those passes. I don't even know what they're called. I had a lawyer's letter and I had I'd been playing gigs through the whole pandemic as well, or when I could, because I had one really supportive booking agent. But that really frustrated me because I really wanted to be down there. I had my van all packed and I was going to go and sleep in the back of my van. Couldn't make it down there. My wife has been my support the whole time. And she said, you've done everything by the book so far. You know, I've rebelled against getting the jab and I've played these gigs, but I had this lawyer's letter and but she just said, I had WorkSafe already on my case because I'd been reported for playing in bars unvaccinated.
Oh, who would do that? Yeah. I just want to update people for maybe some overseas audience who aren't aware what you're talking about. This was 2022. You wanted to get to the Freedom Village in front of Parliament to be with all the people who'd been mandated out of jobs, who'd been coerced and said no, the courageous ones who'd stood up and said, this is tyranny. We want freedom. And so you wanted to join them. Okay.
I literally had WorkSafe. They were ringing me, emailing me. They were threatening to come around and visit. They'd really put me they were threatening my booking agent for all sorts of things. But luckily, I had a letter from Frontline Law which said that I had I have a really amazing doctor, and I don't know if I should mention her name because she is incredible. And right at the start of this pandemic, I did exactly what Jacinda said. She said, consult your doctor. So I consulted my doctor and my doctor said, by absolutely no way should you get this vaccine. She said, I don't know enough about it. I cannot recommend that. And she said, I promise you, if any of you get COVID, I will be there with what you need to support you through.
What a hero. And let's keep her name private for now. But in the fullness of time, in the annals of history, Jesse, she'll be a hero.
And
bullies from WorkSafe should be criminals. They were absolute bullies. Yeah.
She is a hero to a lot of people. And she wrote me and everyone in my family, like my daughter. I had a 17-year-old daughter at the time. She's 21 now, living in Nashville, Faith Wild, amazing singer-songwriter. And she wrote an exemption for my wife and myself and my daughter, and it predated the illegal mandate change or whatever they did. And so I had that, and then I went to Frontline Law because I'd heard that they had all this success with the dropping the mandates for the police force and the defense force. So I went to them and they wrote a letter basically saying that because my medical exemption predated that mandate change, that it was, you know, it was acceptable. So I had those things on my side, and but it meant nothing. I mean, I remember getting chased out of Starbucks for using the bathroom, and I just said, fuck it, I'm going to use the bathroom, because I didn't show my pass, and then they called the cops. Luckily, I was walking the dog, and my wife was out there. We just walked away. The cops didn't get there. But, I mean, when I say I did everything right, I just didn't want to be seen crossing a border with WorkSafe on my ass. So I was really frustrated about that. So to make a long story short, I actually went and saw River of Freedom. It's literally about 3 minutes walk from my house because I live in 38 Airedale Street in the city. And we walked down to the Civic. I was just blown away by that movie. And I literally wrote it the day after I saw that movie. So that was the inspiration with all of that coming. And luckily, I got in touch with Gaylene and she ended up making the video for me. I mean, it was kind of a rush job. We have a big green screen and I jumped in front of that. And we used some handy cams and it kind of looks a little, but I was just blown away by the footage and stuff that she put on there. And a lot of people, comments, you know, it's brought a lot of people to tears, that video, just seeing all the, you know.
All the footage from the Freedom Village. And Gaylene Barnes is the director of the film River of Freedom, which did so well here in New Zealand because it was telling the story of all of those freedom people who wanted to say to Jacinda Ardern, we do not approve of what you are doing. We do not go along with it.
Yeah.
So you wrote that the day after you saw the movie. Gosh, yeah. That's because this song in itself, I think, will inspire many others. And I'm now thinking, Jesse, we should use music as a way to express what we're still in this country, thanks to Jacinda Ardern's Christchurch call. We're still being so censored and so silenced in New Zealand, but music is a way to express it fully. By the way, I think the footage, I think the video, I think the rawness of it is perfect with the song. Tell me about your own musical background. You have that real Nashville kind of lineage, don't you?
I spent a few years living in Nashville. Well, funnily enough, no one in my family was musical. I grew up in a sailing family. They're all builders and sailors. And I grew up in Bucklands Beach. But my dad had a huge record collection. So did my mum. A lot of Elvis, a lot of Rolling Stones, a lot of Beatles, a lot of Paul Simon, Bob Seger. And that became my influences at a young age. It wasn't until I started listening to a guy named Steve Earle, who was probably my favorite songwriter. He wrote a song called Copperhead Road, which was a huge hit. And he was too country for rock and too rock for country. He was kind of, and that's where I sit. I've never been a country. I'm not hardcore country. My daughter's gone hardcore country, and good on her, because it's a huge popular thing. And there's certain country artists I absolutely love, like Alan Jackson. I think he's amazing. There's a Kiwi connection to that. Apparently the guy that I met him, who helped support his career at a very young age, was a Kiwi and Nashville. But
what was his name, Jesse? What was his name for Musos? Just while you're saying that, I can see you love the Rolling Stones too. I did ask you behind who is in that middle picture, and it's
the Rolling Stones are probably my favorite band. I think they, at a later stage, I went into the Beatles. It's Barry Coburn is that guy's name, and he ran 1010 Music Publishing. He helped put one of my favorite country artists on the map. In fact, he was living in a flat underneath his house in Nashville, him and his wife. And he got very successful, wrote a song called Chattahoochee and had lots of big hits.
What was that guy's name? If you're going to tease names, I'm going to get them here.
Is it Alan Jackson? Alan Chattahoochee. Jackson. Yeah. So my influences were more sort of Bob Seger, John Mellencamp, Steve Earle.
Yeah.
You know, John Mellencamp wrote some great songs. One of his songs was, you got to, you know, it's an old saying, but you got to stand for something or you're going to fall for anything. And I know a lot of people are going to, you know, when I wrote this song, I don't know how much I should say, but some members of my band were like, oh, I don't know if I want to be associated with this because, I mean, it's a great song, but it's you're really, you're going to get some flack for it. And I just thought, well, you know what, Bob Dylan wrote Masters of War many, many years ago, you know, condemning the, you know, it's a great song, Oh, You Masters of War, and condemning the people that hide behind the desks and send the young kids out to die. And protest songs have been around to Pete Seeger, and I actually think it's quite noble to write what you feel. And as a songwriter, I never wanted, you know, I don't sit down and say I'm going to write this song. I do what I feel. And I was so inspired by that movie. I mean, I'd been fighting for years, it seemed, by that stage too. I just couldn't believe people weren't seeing what was going on. And my wife is an amazing woman, and she is the yin to my yang. I've always been a bit of a rebel, you know, and I'm not afraid to confront stuff. She's always been a bit of a rule follower, you know, but she's very intelligent. And she also had a master's degree she did media studies. She's got a degree in media studies, and she has a master's in information technology. And she was kind of saying, well, yeah, I'm not going to get it right now because I don't see the need for it. And she was sort of sitting on the fence. And then more and more, as she watched what the media were doing, she was like, this isn't right. This is not right. I mean, you can't do the one source of truth and all of that sort of stuff. It's just... and then she became a pretty, we just stood side by side and said, no, we're not going to get this. And there was a turning point for me, a couple of turning points. We'd booked this amazing holiday for my 50th birthday to Aitutaki, which I'd never been to Aitutaki. I've been to Rarotonga several times. Paradise, by the way. And our travel agent came back and she said, okay, and we'd already paid a lot of money for it. It was sort of a dream. I've always wanted to go to Tahiti, but I thought we'd go to Aitutaki. And then she came and said, you can only go if you get vaccinated. And I believe in what's called the emotional guidance system. Honestly, I got physically almost threw up. And every part of my body said to me, throw that money in the bin before you. She said, my emotional guidance system said no. It just said, I don't care if you never see that money again, or if you never go traveling again, I don't do it. And you got to trust that. You got to trust your gut. And it was violent. It was very violent. And that was the point where, you know, and then my daughter was crying to me saying she's going to turn 18 and she wanted to go to all the bars, you know, for the first time.
Oh, that was so cruel. All the music festivals for the young.
Yeah. And I said, I gave her the exemption. She had the exemption. I gave her the lawyer's letter. And I said, anyone that refuses you just call me and I'll be there. And she said, oh, Dad, this isn't going to work. Because, there's a member of, I didn't say too much, a member of someone I was working with at the time sent me about a 5-page email explaining why my exemptions were illegal. I realized we weren't going to be working together again. So I just stuck with my daughter and I said, look, and then the happiest day of my life, I get a call and she's out, that she's had a few drinks and she's, Dad, it works. Everyone's letting me in everywhere I go.
That is so good. But so many young caved in because of the, it was extortion, Jesse. It was absolute extortion. And this is what you're singing about in your song. Tell people where those lyrics came from. So visceral, so angry. I mean, now hearing that story, I can see why the anger was there.
I've been wanting to write some, I've been thinking and feeling it for a long time. And that song came out really quick. And the good ones do. I mean, I say unconsciously you're thinking about it. Yeah. And you don't really think about writing a song, but you think about all the stuff that comes. Yeah, and it's just, you know, just when I thought I'd seen it all, originally it was They Invent a New Bug that puts you back to the wall. And then I thought, well, it's really not, wasn't the bug that put it back to the wall, it was the drug. So yeah. I changed that. As I was writing it, my wife actually came and she was listening to this. So I sort of write with an acoustic guitar. and a pen, you know, and a piece of paper. That's the staring at the blank page, and it just was flowing out. And she came and offered me a few suggestions here and there. So I gave her a songwriting credit, you know, and because it was really helpful. And because whenever you write something, you're like, oh, is this preachy? Is this cliche? Is this any good? Every songwriter thinks that. I've written a lot of songs, and I remember reading an interview with Bob Seger, and he says, you know, he wakes up every morning saying, am I ever going to write a decent song again? And I think he's one of the greatest songwriters in the world, but we always have that self-doubt. Yeah. And you've just got to get out there and do it. And what I was thinking was, I just wanted to be honest and how I felt, and all the pain that, you know, my daughter's crying and saying, Dad, you know, I can't be with my friends. All my friends have had it. None of them are sick. Some of them have actually become sick afterwards. Took a few months. I mean, it's a clever system, I guess. If everyone got sick straight away, people would have stopped taking it, wouldn't they?
So that's exactly it. That's what the Barry Young data shows, that you give it time and it will show up. But boy, they're cynical and they've done it well. That song, I think, will really resonate with all generations as well. That's what's interesting. I think it'll go through from the young who went through that horrific time when they're at their most vulnerable, most wanting to be part of the tribe, right through to the older ones who remember really good rock songs. I think it's an interesting song that will resonate around the world, Jesse. Would you like it to become anthemic, an anthem around the world, to say as part of the saying no to the next planned pandemic, the plandemic that the UN, you know, and Bill Gates are almost openly talking about? Another virus will come, we'll need more lockdowns, we'll need another, there will be more pandemics. And those of us who are now fully awake and aware are going, I don't care what you try to sell me, I'm not having it. Is that part of what you'd like this song to, if you like, to put a bit of muscle in people's spines?
I'll tell you, so right from day one, I stood for freedom of choice. I don't want, you know, I had people, unqualified people telling me, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you know, even people that loved me telling me I had to do this. And I was like, I stand for freedom of choice. I never condemned anyone that did it. And anyone that chose not to do it, it's like freedom of choice. And that's why We Had a Choice ? Is the song, you know, like the thing that really frustrated me, it was, you know, when Chris Hipkins said, you know, it was all of that. And that had happened a few days, I think, before that documentary was released. I actually put the date when it actually happened. But do I want it to be an anthem? I mean, you got to stand for something or you're going to fall for anything. That's one of my favorite sayings. And do you want to stand up for your rights? And do I want other people to stand up for their rights? Absolutely. Do I think there's a lot of corruption going on in the world? Absolutely. But I'll tell you what, there always has been. And I've just come back. I went to visit my daughter in Nashville, Tennessee. She's living over there. She's a country singer, Faith Wild. I'm so proud of her. I'm great, one of the greatest songwriters I've ever met. And I'm not saying that just because she's my daughter. My entire band, we've been working on her album. And my drummer keeps saying, he thinks he's insulting me. She's a better songwriter than you. And I'm like, that's not an insult. That's a compliment, you know. She grew up surrounded by great songwriters. I grew up surrounded by sailors drinking rum, which is nothing wrong with that. But she literally was in the cot. I've owned recording studios since before she was born. And I would put her in the cot and I'd be mixing my songs and other people's songs. She'd be meeting people. She'd be sleeping while I was mixing. So all this music was going into her the whole time. And then I remember Jesse Mulligan once said to me, he said in an interview, because she just played in front of 25,000 people in Iowa, she got up with the headlining act. They sang her lyrics, a guy named Noah Kahn, to a song called Dial Drunk. And at the end, it made it on the project, which and Jesse Mulligan has, I like Jesse. He's been a good support to my music. He rang me up, couldn't believe it. He goes, you must be so proud that your daughter is following in your footsteps. And I was like, actually, I wanted her to be a school teacher because all the girls in our family are school teachers and music's a hard life. It's a hard road. Going off topic here, but really, I think if you can follow your dreams and stand up for what you believe in, you know, when I told her, you know, I asked her whether she was serious about doing music. And I said, because you've got to be all in or you're not in at all. And she said, "Dad, that's what I want to do." And so I had to stand again for freedom of choice. The whole time when she said to me, "What do you think I should do, Dad?" I said, "You've got to make that decision for yourself about the jab and all of that. I strongly advise you to stand next to me. I'm going to protect you regardless of what, you know. But if you choose to do it, you're always going to be welcome in my home. But I'd prefer you didn't, you know." Yeah.
That must have been an incredibly character-building moment. That was a bit of a riff-off on your daughter, but send us one of her songs and we'll put it in at the end. And maybe we'll put that in after we play your song going out from this interview. You mentioned Chris Hipkins there, but you didn't mention the dark speech that he gave. What was that speech that you'd heard just a few days before writing this song that made you so angry?
I actually had to Google it to get the right words when I put my little thing on YouTube when we released the video. But basically, he just said that all New Zealanders had a choice.
We've just heard stories from your own life of all the forcing that went on to the point where you couldn't even get across the border in a tiny island of New Zealand down to the capital city. I mean, it was ludicrous. Tell me a little bit more before.
Insulting that when he said that, and that's what I wrote in the analogy. You know, if someone breaks into your home and puts a gun to your head and says, "You've got a choice. Give me all your valuables, or I'll shoot you in the head." That is not a choice. You know, under the legal description of, you know, if you signed a contract with a gun to your head, it's a void contract because it's you're under duress. Mm. So all of that is not a choice. But it's not a choice. And that's, for him to say that, extremely arrogant, extremely just cruel. It's basically really cruel. Because I had some good, hardworking friends that got it, and some of them are sick, and they'll probably never come right. You know, I know several people. There's so much I could say. I missed family weddings because of it. And I had the venue on my side. I had everyone on my side. But the member of the family was like, "No, you can't come. You're going to be putting people at risk."
Jesse, how's that healing? Is that healing, that rift?
You know what? I'm a spiritual man. I wouldn't call myself a religious man. I believe there was a man named Jesus Christ that walked this planet. I think he was an ascended master. I think we all are capable of having Christ consciousness in our being. I'm not there yet, but I'd love to spend some time on an ashram in India and give myself a go. He said something which, through this whole thing, that I just had to keep saying to myself, and forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. I think a lot of them didn't know what they did. I think some of them did. And those people should never be forgiven. The healing, you know what? It felt like post-traumatic stress disorder I mean, I've forgiven people for what they've said and done. Am I fully healed? I don't know if anyone will be. I know we were in a time of history. That was a part I'd wake up and I go, "Wow, this is unprecedented. Like, this is a time in history," and it kind of, I hope that, you know, and that's one of the first lyrics in the song is, "I would have thought history had taught us that the powers that be aren't the ones you can trust." Before I went off on that tangent about my daughter, who I love so much and I'm so proud of her, I was saying, before we went to Nashville, we decided to go to Mexico for 3 weeks. And my wife had been learning Spanish. She's very good. One thing I learned, we went to see all the great pyramids in Mexico, the Zapotecs, the Aztecs, the Mayans, and reading the history, and we went to a few museums. Oh my God, this is thousands of years before Christ. They were being coerced, tortured, captured, sacrificed, made to pay taxes. And I was thinking, this tyranny has been going on for a very long time. You know, that's what I was like, here's me thinking, "Oh, you know, poor me, I can't play a gig, can't make a living because the government says I can't." And I'm thinking, well, thousands of years before Christ, there were people doing it to other people. And I think, you know, you can say that there's a great lyric from a John Mellencamp song. He says, "The water could be cleaner and the air could be too, but the things we do to each other are the worst things that we do."
Yes.
And Yeah, so it's been going on forever.
And is a hope that the extremity, the nature of extremity of what they did, jabbing billions of people and hurting and maiming and poisoning and killing, that this may be the time when the equal and opposite force comes in, Jesse, where enough people wake up and say, no more of this. We're born free on this earth and we should live free. You know, yeah. The French philosopher said, man is born free and everywhere he is in chains. And that's because we allow those chains. That's and right. I think music breaks the chains. Music breaks out of those chains.
Well, I would hope so. And I've had a lot of support for this song. I mean, in saying that, you can release a song. Apparently 60,000 songs hit Spotify a day. And don't get me started about Spotify. So I haven't done any Spotify promotion for this. I am on Spotify. You have to have a digital presence now. I put it out on YouTube. And, getting up to 1,000 plays in a day or so. So that's not too bad. But I hope it does grow. The thing that, what I said about history would have taught us, I get back in the ancient times, they were barbaric people. We're in a time now where you can't even call someone a certain gender and you've got to be politically correct. And that's the thing that got me the most. We're in this politically correct world, but you can say, I can't say you're a man or a woman, but I can say you're not allowed in my bathroom because you don't have a vax pass. That was the thing that got me the, I would have thought in this world we were supposed to be, we've evolved, haven't we? And that, I just couldn't believe it. I it was fear, I guess. People would just put the fear in them. They got hypnotized.
We have to get back to critical thinking. I think the one for me, Jesse, is where the Ministry of Health is saying, oh, we're so worried about Barry Young's anonymized health data, the data of the people showing excess deaths. We're so worried about breaches of privacy, but you and I had to give everybody our medical status when we went anywhere in the jab season. We had to say, and that's my private medical business. I don't have to tell anybody that. Yeah, the hypocrisies are numerous and many. What an interesting conversation. I let you mention your address before, and I say let you because normally I'd go, don't mention your address, but it's important people know that.
Anyone can Google me and find out where I am.
Don't where me. You live. You live above a studio, the studio we're seeing you in. So tell us a little bit before we finish about your business and what people can do. They can come and record with you. They can do podcasts, I gather.
Well, yeah. We are predominantly, about 9 years ago, I was working and living in Bucklands Beach in a little place in Fiesta Drive, and I had built a recording studio next to my house. It was actually bigger than my house. That's the one where Faith, who's my daughter's middle name is Faith. Alicia's her first name, and she's decided to call herself Faith Wild, which is a great name. I got to choose both the names, so I'm pretty happy. And so my wife, when I met her, she was born in Dublin, raised in Manchester, living in Perth, and I met her in Fiji, and she was a city girl. She didn't want to live in suburbia, and she would, on the internet, found this distressed building, which actually used to be a methamphetamine laboratory when we bought it. It was contaminated. We spent several thousand dollars decontaminating it. So we got a good deal. It's a 2.5 minutes walk from the town hall, and it's 400 square meters. We completely gutted the building. It was built in 1957. We tried to preserve the character of the building. And then we built a recording studio downstairs, a TV studio, an event space. And we live upstairs. We've got a 200 square meter apartment upstairs. We also have a separate hotel room, which people can stay at. It's on Airbnb, and that's been really great for us. We have a back deck where my wife and I, we're growing vegetables and veggie pods. We've got a colloidal silver spa pool and I just put in a sauna and a gym. And it's, I did a lot of the building myself. My dad helped. My brother helped a little bit. It was the hardest thing I've ever done, build this place. So we had a great architect and a really good acoustics engineer. The acoustics engineer designed Peter Jackson's recording studios as well, his TV and his audio studios, and he designed this one.
What's his name, Jesse?
Malcolm Dunn, I believe, is his name, and Marshall Day Acoustics.
Nice. And I think we should also give Jason Kerrison a bit of an up for doing vocals on your track that we've We've kind of discussed the track, but what I've loved about this interview, we've gone way wider, and I've learned a lot of interesting things about a thoughtful, self-made, motivated, independent, critically thinking Kiwi. Thank you, Jesse. I've actually really enjoyed this discussion. I think there are
Jason is a great man. Jason is a great man. He played my 50th birthday. I went up and played a few songs at his 50th birthday. I've known him for a long time. We had him on our TV show. My wife, Kath Vincent, had 4 seasons of a TV show called The Kath Vincent Show, and I host the music slot on that. So
nice. It's been really good talking to you, Jesse, and I think I just hope this song makes a real impact in people's hearts and reminds everybody to sing that song of independence from our government tyrannies around the world. That's why I wanted to do this interview. It's been very rich. Thank you. Yes. Lovely talking.
Thank you.
Just when I thought I'd seen it all, they invent a new drug that puts our backs to the wall. And I would have thought mystery had taught us the powers that be aren't the ones you can trust. And how can you say we had a choice when the people spoke up, you silenced our voice. You locked us all down, you poisoned our youth. You claim yourselves as the one source of truth.
Your people lost their jobs, many lost their health. Well, your beehive fully squandered our country's wealth. You divided our people, mandated demands. No amount of sanitizer can wash the blood from your hands.
How can you say we had a choice when the people spoke up, you silenced our voice. You locked us all down, you poisoned our youth. You claim yourselves as the one source of truth.
Once again, all the hard-working souls paid the highest price for the government controls. Am I the only one? Am I losing my mind? Who's gonna pay for all these crimes?
Who's gonna pay?
Charge, they won't confess they did anything wrong. No, they just walk away. But I have to believe they'll face the judgment day.
Now how dare you say we had a choice with the people.